Well now, brothers and sisters, we come to part of another wonderful part of the life of the church when we are going to be installing a new elder. As you know, the session examined Keith Weber for the office of elder after he was trained in that office, and we found him competent for that particular task and gifted for it. And then you as a congregation voted for him to become your elder. So I'm going to ask both the session and for Elder Keith, or at this point, still nominate Elder Candidate Keith to come forward. And we're going to be in the process of installation. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask now, Lord, that you would be with us as we ordain Keith. We know, O Lord, that only you can raise up elders in your church. You are the one who gifts them. You are the one who calls them. We are merely acknowledging that calling that you have put upon this man's life. We pray now, Lord, that as he begins this great vocation, that you, O Lord, would guide him, that you would equip him, and that you would keep him. We know that the devil's desire will be to cause him to stray from the path. But we pray that you would safeguard him and watch over him. O Lord, please bless our ordination and installation service tonight. Keith, you are to assent to these questions for ordination as they are put to you. Keith Weber, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, and acknowledge him head over all things for the church, which is his body? Do you reaffirm your belief in the Bible, the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, as the word of the living God, the only perfect rule of faith and practice, infallible in all that it teaches, and inerrant in the original manuscripts, and to which nothing is to be added, and from which nothing is to be taken at any time or upon any pretext? Do you accept the doctrines of this church contained in the Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms as founded on the Word of God and as an expression of your own faith, and do you resolve to adhere thereto?
I do.
Do you accept the government, discipline, and worship of the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church?
I do.
Do you accept the office of elder in this congregation, and do you promise to perform faithfully all the duties of the office? And do you promise to endeavor by the grace of God to live your life in Christian witness before the church and in the world?
I am.
Okay. Do you promise to submit in the spirit of love to the authority of the session and to the higher courts of the church? Finally, do you promise in all things to promote the unity, peace, purity, and prosperity of the church? In that case, I have one remaining question, but it is to you, the congregation. Do you, the members of this congregation, acknowledge and receive this man as your elder? And do you promise to give him all the honor, obedience, encouragement, and assistance in the spirit of love to which his office, according to the word of God and the standards of this church, entitles him?
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to step down, Keith. You're going to lay on hands in the apostolic way. You're going to have to kneel. I'm sorry,
right,
brother.
All right, Mark.
Yes. Thank you, U.S. military. Let's pray. God, our gracious Father, we now pray, Lord, that you would set apart this man to be your servant within this congregation. We pray that as he is ordained to the office of ruling elder, that you would give him a due sense of the importance of the task, that, O Lord, you would help him to sustain the dignity of the office, that you would help him, O Lord, to serve you willingly and fully. We pray that Keith would be poured out on this congregation, that he would hold nothing back, that he would be willing even to give his life for the members of this church if need be, and that he would do all that he can to preserve and safeguard the integrity of word, doctrine, and sacrament as they are proclaimed within this congregation. Let him be a man who can say honestly, "Follow me as I follow Christ." May he be someone who our younger people look up to and that everyone can trust in truth. May he model his behavior and his deportment upon his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and take seriously the call to take up his cross every day, die to self, and follow you. And may we do all that we can to to come alongside him and support him as he goes about his labors in your name. Now, O Lord, let your blessing be upon him as we ordain him to this office that you have called him to, the office of ruling elder. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother, we give you the right hand to continue in this office with us. Well, if I can ask now, no, you're not going anywhere. Come on back. Charlie, if I can ask you to give the charge to the elder.
Keith, as part of the charge to you, there are a number of things in Scripture which tell you how to be an elder. And I'm not going to stand here and enumerate them, other than to point out to you that you're charged to follow them. You know what they are, primarily in 1 Timothy and in Titus. They're listed. And these characteristics are summed up, as the prayer from the pastor just said, to be a man that can be emulated. And you're charged to do that. We also know in the Old Testament, where there's references to leaders, and principally, of course, the Messiah to come, the Bible talks about a biblical standard of leadership, which is quite different from a worldly standard of leadership. And most specifically in Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah describes Christ as the one who puts the government upon his shoulders, which is a complete inversion of the worldly model in which the leader is on top of the heap. By this description in Isaiah, the leader is at the bottom, sustaining and holding up the rest. But you know this. So I'm just telling you that we know you know this, and you're charged to do this. But I want to wrap this up and focus you not, and the congregation as well, not just on the how of serving this congregation, but the why. Now you will serve this congregation, you will also serve the presbytery, and you will serve the general synod. Why will you do this? You will serve God, but so does everyone else here who claims to be a Christian. But why will you do this in this capacity? Well, when Paul opens his letter to Titus, which is one of the key references for enumerating the qualities of an overseer or an elder, Paul says this. He says, in his first verse, he says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith. This is the why. The faith has to be transmitted. It has to be taught. It has to be defended. It has to be stood up for from one generation to the next. And if someone like you doesn't do it, who will? This is the why. And this defense of the faith, this carrying on of the faith, cannot be done from a basis of self-righteousness, but only from a basis of humility. And that's my charge to you tonight. Defend the faith, but do it as Micah taught, by doing justice, by loving mercy, and by walking humbly. Amen.
Now I have a charge to give to you, the members of this congregation, because you have burdens to fulfill as well. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Now this is just one of the many places in Paul's letters where he calls upon the churches that in many cases he himself established to pray for him. In fact, he implores his readers to pray for him. And I don't want you to think for a moment that what Paul is doing is simply giving the church there a throwaway line, the pray for me that you might say to somebody as you're about to go in and take a test or something like that. It's not the ancient example of have a nice day. What he is saying is pray continually for me. Whenever you think of me, pray for me. And the word he uses there is prosyukomai. And for those of you who are fans of Greek grammar, There's at least one fan of Greek grammar here, I know. That is the imperative present middle second person plural. And it means pray without ceasing. Do not stop praying. Now, why does he say it that way? Well, because Paul was all too well that it was not that it was not by his efforts or his strivings that his preaching would find receptive hearts and that the gospel would swiftly advance. And so, too, any true officer in the church knows that it is not by his efforts that he will succeed in his ministry. Rather, a true man of God knows the truth encapsulated in Zechariah 4:6, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Every good elder knows that at heart, and I know, or at least I hope Keith knows, that he is but an earthen vessel, a jar of clay, and that it is the mighty power of God that fills up these jars of clay that advances the gospel. Paul's confidence did not lie in his ability nor in his winsome words. In fact, he eschewed them to the Corinthians, but he knew that God could reach the hearts that he could not. And so he implored his readers to pray that God would unleash the mighty power of the gospel through him, that it would tracho, which means run swiftly and continually, that many would come to faith, just as his readers had come to faith. So it's my charge to you, the congregation of Providence ARP this evening, pray continually for Elder Weber, not just once, not when you hear that he has a prayer request. If you think of him, pray for him, pray for his ministry, pray for his teaching, pray for his counsel, pray for his private life, that he may be kept on the straight and narrow. Pray for his protection. Brothers and sisters, as an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, he will be continually under attack by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That deadly triumvirate of evil, that fake of the Trinity, have always operated according to the plan, and its sound military doctrine, strike the shepherd and the sheep are scattered. The devil goes after the officers first and foremost, because he knows that that's the quickest way and the most effective way to harm the flock, to attack its overseers. We have seen far too many men of God who have fallen into sin, or who have simply despaired in their ministry for a lack of support, a lack of strength. They've said, I cannot go on, and they have left. So, his enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, are going to set opposition, temptation, and discouragement in Elder Weber's path again and again. And if you really want him to stand in the battle, then you must pray for him. You must pray that he will be supported by the Lord. Pray that he would be rescued from perverse and evil men who will do their will of the father, the devil, in seeking to do him harm. And pray also for the melting of your own hearts towards him. What you need to be is compassionate towards this new elder. It's going to take him a little while. It took me many years. I'm still not done to begin to mature as an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ. I was a catastrophe to begin with. My wife was there. She knows. I've listened to some of my early sermons. Oh, my word. I feel sorry for the people who heard them. They were simply terrible. Now, Keith, I'm sure, will not be nearly as bad as I was starting out. But brothers and sisters, you need to be patient. You need to love him. You need to encourage him. And you need to come alongside him and bear his burdens. Hear what Peter said. He said, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you now, Lord, that you have given this church a new leader, a new ruling elder, a new under-shepherd to serve and protect your flock. We pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen his hands for the labor ahead of him, that he would remember that it's difficult, that it's dangerous, and that, Lord, it requires sacrifice day after day. We thank you that he has not entered into this as a novice or thinking that this will be something easy and quickly done. We pray, Lord, now that you would help him to commit his life to serving you in this office, and that he would remember that you are the one who has called him, and that in due time you are the one who will dismiss him when his work is done. And we look forward to that day when he will hear those words from you: "Well done, O good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." And we pray all of these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.